Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversations are pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Did you bring your thinking caps? Because it's time to put them on. Because the conversation starts now. One of my favorite parts of the interviews, because now I'm in the room with you. Okay, I'm feeling your vibe. All right. Welcome, brains, to On the Edge with April Mahoney. This is the spot right here. This is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp. Where's she at? Oh, she over there. And the responses are never dull. We're here with Sue Paulson. She's all the way from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Brains, if you've never been to Canada, you really want to go. I love it. I love Canadians. And a good Tim Horty donut. Okay. With a little Bailey's in my hot chocolate. So she's going to do more than pour up Bailey's and serve donuts. She is going to talk to us about tea and how she has this great podcast focused around the tea, okay? And also The Healing Call of Cancer, which is another show that she produces. She is a mother, she's a grandmother, and she had two husbands. We're going to talk to her a little bit about that. She's the author of 3 books. We're going to talk to her a little bit about that and everything else that we can think of to reduce our stress, because stress is killing us. Stress is causing inflammation. Stress is not allowing us to focus. Stress is making us evil. So we want to get rid of all of that. So we want to welcome Sue Paulson to the Edge. How are you, beautiful?
April, thank you so much. I'm absolutely wonderful today. I like to say if I was any better, I'd be dangerous.
I love it. I love it. You know, and people always say, well, you know, if you complain, nobody would care. But you do care. And you're going to offer some words of wisdom, some encouragement. You might just be a good sounding board for people. So again, we're in a good space, but we're throwing love out to you brains that may not be in the best space. How did you find the best space and where you are right now, Sue Paulson?
Well, it took a near-death experience actually in 2007 to get my attention and turn my whole belief system and my world upside down as far as what life was all about, what God was all about, where my very being was all about. And I got lost in the wilderness of all of that for a while because it just changed who I was. And as I'm merrily trying to work my way through this wilderness and feeling lost and alone and rather downtrodden because of that, I got a bout of cancer. I got a cancer diagnosis.
Oh my gosh.
So that just set me reeling, but.
Okay, so wait a minute. Let me make sure I got this right. You had a near-death experience.
Yes.
You made it through that. And then you got the diagnosis of cancer.
Yeah, four years after.
Yeah, or too many.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, and it took the beauty of the near-death experience was that I wasn't afraid to die. So when cancer hit, even though I was terrified and I didn't know what to do, I was not afraid to die. And so that put a little different spin on things as far as how I approached it and what happened after that.
Okay, so you were not afraid to die because you had already walked that walk partially.
Yep. Absolutely.
What happened to you? And I'll tell you what happened to me, because I had an out of body experience. It wasn't a near death, but when you are out of this physical thing, you go somewhere that is super cool, brains.
No question.
Okay, it is super cool.
Well, and I, what I found fascinating was on the other side, it was this blissful, totally enthralling experience because it was unconditional love on steroids, like I couldn't have ever known about before. That was part of it. Total acceptance was another. No judgment was the one that just hit me between the eyes because I wasn't brought up that way. I thought there was a book. And it turns out there's no book.
Well, there is a book, but, you know, and it's different books for different people, and they want to edit and filter. They don't want to follow all the rules, and they don't want to read it from beginning to end. They want to read it and apply what applies to them and then tweak it and make a different interpretation. Were you brought up with a religious doctrine?
I certainly was schooled to a certain extent with religion, for sure. And was baptized and confirmed in the Anglican Church, which I think is Presbyterian in the States. I'm not just sure what the labeling is, but anyway, but crossing over shifted my whole perspective because what I had believed and what I'd been brought up to believe wasn't actually true. And so there was this knowing. So I didn't have the visual of where I was. I just knew that life was different. And I knew that I was this integral part of God that deserved to have everything that was great about life just because I existed. I didn't have to do anything for it, just because I, you know, which we all are. And then following that, how magnificent each of us is. And that was a big word for me to take in because I see mountains as magnificent and the ocean as magnificent, but I'd never considered, and I do see other people as magnificent, but I never saw myself that way. So this was a big shift.
Well, I don't know how you don't see yourself that way, but that's what I call my husband, Mr. Magnificent, because I know magnificent when I see it. Okay.
Nice. Nice.
It's a grandeur. It's a feeling. It's a smell. It's a texture. It's a touch. It's a whisper. You know, magnificent is just magnificent.
Absolutely.
Okay, so you get the diagnosis, and your world is turned upside down. You are not afraid, but all these other people in your life, your kids, your husband, they're wondering, okay, you know, Mama Sue is on something because she's not just falling down crying because she's already been there before. How are you communicating with people that are questioning, you know, what you're going through?
Well, the first thing that I think is important is to not view cancer as the enemy. We seem to have this ongoing war and battle as if cancer cells are alien invaders. Well, they don't come from anywhere except they're part of us. They're our own very own cells that have gone wonky, that have gone rogue. And while at this point you may be in the battle for your very life, battling cancer is not the way to approach it. It's not to say, well, cancer's the enemy and I have to do everything to combat it. It's to have a different perspective. Actually, if there's any enemy, the enemy is fear. Fear is the enemy.
Right.
And so then we need to understand that, first of all, we're more powerful than any adversity that comes across my path. Now, it doesn't mean that you know what the outcome is going to be, because I tend to see cancer now as a wake-up call. It might be a wake-up call for you to do whatever healing you need to do to take your journey home, and, you know, the ultimate home, or it's a wake-up call to a better life. You know, and you get to choose. You know, I chose, and I said, well, I don't know if this is going to kill me or not. If it does, well, I know what it's like on the other side, so that's not a big deal. But in the meantime, because I don't know, what am I going to do to live? What am I going to do to re-engineer my life so that I can live my best life and move forward?
Well, again, how did your family receive this? Was it You know, because sometimes in that knowing, there's outside influences that are questioning. And they take it much harder than you do.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's an interesting journey because it isn't unusual that the healing journey is not just about the cancer sufferer, but also the family of those who are suffering. And it causes us, and I've been on both sides because I lost a sister last August to cancer, and she had just hit her 50th birthday.
Oh, that's true.
And that was rough. And I mean, having gone through my own experience and then to watch her go through something that was even more brutal, it was hard. Mm-hmm. And I found myself having to allow her to have her journey. Her journey was not my journey. And that I was there to just love and support in whatever way she chose, not because some of the things that she chose, I'm going, oh, why are you choosing that? Like some of the treatments that she went through, I was just horrified. But it wasn't my journey. It wasn't my decision to make. So it's a challenge for the supporters. And sometimes our loved ones want to push us in directions because they're so fearful of us dying.
Right.
They want to push us in directions that maybe are not that great for us.
Right. So you have to take hold of yourself, brains. You got to tether yourself down. You got to go by fact-based information. Don't overthink it. That's the first thing I tell myself. When I get into a situation, okay, April, dial back, take a few deep breaths, and don't overthink it. Know what you know and try to uncover and discover what you don't know. But you have that conversation in your head, Sue, and, you know, it's like dancing with sugar plums. You are all over the place, and this could be this. Or you go on to this internet and self-diagnose yourself or figure out, you know, try to do the operation yourself. Go in and tell the doctors what to do. Relax with it. Like you said, it is in us. It's not like somebody injected it in us. It's ourselves have gone rogue. But there's a lot of people that I know that have done amazing work with diet, exercise, supplements, traditional westernized medicine that are healing and have healed. But everybody's not going to heal because we're all organic and we're all have an expiration date and we're all going to expire.
That's right. Absolutely. Okay?
But getting to that point of maturity, of understanding that, so many people are fearful of dying. Maybe it's because they're fearful of how they're living. Talk to us about that.
Yeah. Well, I think that's essentially true. We're often so afraid to step out and be who we are. And let's face it, if time seems to be running short, then there's this anxiety that can build because we're saying, well, I don't have enough time left, and I know I haven't done all the things I wanted to do, and oh, don't cut my life short now because I haven't done all of this other stuff. Well, who is in charge of that?
Right, or you haven't made amends for the things that you have done.
Well, and that's the other thing for sure, and that's part of the healing path. I mean, they talk about finding a cure for cancer. Well, let's be real. There is not going to be a, quote, cure for cancer, not one cure, because every person's body is wired so differently that what works for one person may not work for another. One person's cancer, even though the label might be the same, is not another person's cancer. There's more going on. It's not just physical. It's emotional. It's spiritual. It's mental, as well as physical. And because every person's unique, well, how can there be, quote, a cure? But there can be some tremendous healing that can come for the individual, for the family, for anybody in your sphere of influence that can make a difference in moving forward and saying, well, now I see the magnificence in me and in other people. And it involves so many things: compassion, forgiveness. I mean, and of course, we were talking a little earlier about stress. Well, chronic stress is one of the biggest contributors to every kind of dis-ease that turns into disease that you can find on the planet.
Absolutely. I know I didn't think that I was stressed out when my mother was passing. It's been a year now. Until I start seeing my hair come out.
Sure.
I was like, I done rocked this afro for almost 60 years. I've never, every time I comb it, and I'm saying, well, I'm just shedding hair. And then I got on the scale. I was stress eating. I didn't realize that I was just, you know, working out, hand to mouth. And I was telling my husband, and he goes, baby, you're stressed out. And I was, no, but I was running on automatic. Yeah. So a lot of times when you flip that switch, brains, you don't really realize that you are in high stress mode until you have a heart attack or until you have an anxiety attack or you come up with something or, you know, or you're, you know, flying off the handle and you're always angry and your hormones are all over the place. I love that teacup.
Thank you. My grandmother's china.
Oh, beautiful. But again, so now let's talk a little bit about the tea, because I know you've got a good tea in there. Tell us about your podcast.
All right. So I, over a year ago, I decided that I wanted to do a little series of videos called Tea with Sue. So it's roughly 20 minutes of kickback. Join me with a cup of tea. Earl Grey is my favorite, so that's usually what I drink. And we'll talk about what's on my mind to start with, because it might be on your mind. And the topics vary. And a lot of what I work through is things that I'm going through at this point in time. And lessons that I've learned because of adversity that I faced. I'm not friends with adversity, but I'm no stranger to it. So there isn't much that can happen to someone else that I haven't had some little piece of experience in my life too. So we find common ground in Tea with Sue. And so I think I'm on episode number, I'm ready to record episode number 70, I think. So,
all right. Well, go right ahead. Consistency is key. And you've got this podcast, and how are you encouraging people to, you know, to follow you, to listen to you? Do you have special offers? Do you have special programs? Do you have guest speakers? Well, tell us a little bit more in depth about, you know, your vetting process and the framework around creating your podcast.
Sure. Well, I have this cool tool. I never, ever thought I would enter the high-tech arena of apps. But I got convinced, even though I considered myself to be the low-tech tool in the high-tech shed.
That's cute.
I've learned. And so I have an app, my very own app called The Magnificence Mentor.
Wow.
Well, it's a free download, whether you have an Apple phone or a Android. You just go to the respective store and you look up The Magnificence Mentor and you can download it for free. If you become a member, then, which is free as well, you can sign up as a member. You just need your email address and put in a password. Then it opens up all kinds of content. So one of the ways or the structure is all the content that I create on my YouTube channels ends up on my app. So there's probably close to 200 videos on there. There's articles on a variety of topics and they follow themes. So Tea with Sue is one theme. I have a whole series of videos called Magnificence Moments. And each one is a different topic related to, well, what's getting in the way of you being magnificent? So I might spend 6 to 8 minutes just chatting about that. And then, of course, the most recent one is Healing Call of Cancer, because I wanted to, you know, when you get the statistics of 1 in 2 will experience cancer in their lifetime, you think, holy, we're really dealing with a lot of people. And I've had the experience, and I have things I've learned because of that. So I thought that this would be a good platform to be able to share basically about life beyond cancer. So what happens when you're through the treatments and you're rebuilding your life, then what? So I've followed that because my ultimate goal, I have to confess, my ultimate goal is to get people creating their brand of heaven on earth. Oh. I think it's possible. I mean, heaven's a pretty cool place. Yeah. Well, why not have it right here, right now?
And you know what? You can manifest it. Yes. People can manifest it. You know,
absolutely.
They can
absolutely
think those positive thoughts. You have another show that you're just coming out with too. So it was also Tea with Sue, but then you also have the Healing Call of Cancer. So you have two separate shows.
Yes, yes, yes. So Wednesdays I record Healing Call of Cancer, and Fridays I record Tea with Sue.
All right. So. And you wrote a book in between all of that. I don't know how you had the time to do all of that. Tell us about the book and show us the book.
Oh, well, now, so this is my pride and joy. So in order to make sense of my near-death experience and my cancer journey, I wrote a memoir called Magnificent Misery, From Adversity to Ecstasy. So this came out in 2015. And in the paperback version, and we're shortly going to be launching an ebook version of it. So it'll come out as a second edition within the next month, I think, where I've been busily working on.
Now that's on Amazon, correct?
Yes, through Amazon. Yeah, absolutely.
Do you share excerpts of your book on your podcast?
You know, there's always meat coming from there, but I don't know that I've actually ever read from the book, but you know, I could read how the book opens if you like.
It's well, absolutely. Cool. Share that with us.
All right. Let me just find the page here. So here's how the book starts. Amidst passion, the specter of death came knocking. It was a balmy Saturday night that July in 2007. How bizarre that in one instant, a person could move from dying to have sex to dying from having sex. Even stranger is my story of how that event led to the spiritual path of full-blown ecstasy.
Oh, shoot. You know, in the United States, they take a pill called ecstasy. So, they're trying to go there, but you did it naturally.
I did.
So you had two husbands. Did you consciously uncouple, or did they pass away, or?
No, I consciously uncoupled. I bless my two husbands who each came along at the right time for the growth stage that I was at. And the first one, I was young, 18 when I married the first time, and my mother had died just a year previously, very suddenly, and this was a guy that she wouldn't have had me bring home.
Okay, all right, a bad boy, right?
He had the look of a bad boy. He wasn't really a bad boy, but he had the look, and I was vulnerable, and you know what? He came with a ready-made family who mm-hmm. adored me, and so when my own family shattered because of my mom's death, then it just seemed natural to fall in there. Mm-hmm. And so that it was one of those up and down rocky relationships for about 8 years where we didn't know what we didn't know, and we didn't have a clue actually, but it helped us both grow up. And then my second husband, we were together about 23 years, and that's when we had our amazing son. And there was a point in time where he was going one direction and I was going another. And we said, you know what? But the beauty of it for me is that all my former spouses, I've remained friends with.
And well, that's maturity.
It is.
I'm a firm believer that if you truly love someone, you can love them enough to let them go. You want their happiness.
Absolutely.
That's how you started the relationship. You know, I can talk that drag now, but you see Mr. Magnificent trying to leave me, girl, I'll be pulling onto his pants legs. Baby, don't leave me, don't leave me, don't, please don't leave me, don't leave me, don't leave me. You know, because I adore him, but sure. He adores me.
Yeah.
And we're evenly yoked. And we have a independence and a respect for one another. I like for him to do his thing and be his own man. He loves me to do my thing and be my own woman. But yeah. Then we intersect. And then, you know, it becomes magnificent.
Absolutely.
So you are just a wealth of information. Leave us with some words of wisdom and some encouragement.
Oh, so start going inward. Dig deep into the inside part of you that is so magnificent. And be brave enough to grab onto it and allow it out. So no matter what you're going through, you're still in the driver's seat. You have the power to engage in whatever way makes sense to you. So, you know, there's a lot about life we can't change, but the one thing for sure we can change is our attitude and the way we approach things. It's an inside game. So it's an inside out. So clean up whatever needs to be cleaned up from inside you, you know, get rid of that baggage that you've been dragging around for far too long, release it for transformation. And you'll find that as you lighten up, your life really transforms. So if you want heaven on earth, then just go for it because it's right there in front of you and only you can do it.
And you know what, Brains, I tell you, feel the fear and do it anyway.
Exactly right.
Because, you know, really, we have an expiration date. Like that milk in your refrigerator. Oh, it's going to go bad. But you have a choice, you know. Bad milk makes sour cream.
Which
is delicious. So thank you so much, Sue, for being here on The Edge with me and my Brains. Please tell us how to get in contact with you, how to purchase a copy of your book, how to get a copy, again, of the downloadable app. I'm going to put all this information in the show notes. Follow her. Brains, I need you to love, like, and share. Seriously, because there's about to be some impending changes on social media that are going to occur. And so I need people to be able to get in contact with us, follow us, don't be beholden to one platform, diversify, download, record, like, love, and share. How do we get in contact with you, Miss Sue?
Well, if you go to www.yourmagnificencementor.com, that's my website where you'll find buttons so that you can download the app. And you can always email me if you have a question or you want to engage further. It's sue@yourmagnificencementor.com. The book, my book, Magnificent Misery, is available through Amazon as a paperback version at this moment in time. The second edition will come out, the ebook version, soon. And that's pretty much how you can get a hold of me.
Well, and you can always follow her on The Edge and rewind this to get exactly what you need in about 30 minutes and then travel on and beyond. Well, I'm so glad that you're back here on Earth after, you know, your supernatural experience. And I'll tell you about mine offline. But it's a lovely, lovely place, Brains. And, you know, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Unless you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing here. So get yourself together, okay? I love all of you from the bottom of my socks because my heart just isn't deep enough. Talk to you later.
Take good care.
All right. Bye, Sue.